Thank you for checking out Coffee Pods, a coffee break length look into the Christian healing ministry. Through honest discussion, season 6 has us talking about when our own healing journey has been challenged. So, whether you're a cappuccino, a latte, or an Americano, there's something here for you. So pick up your coffee mug, plug in your earbuds, and let's talk. It's so great to be back with you today for another episode of Coffee Pod Conversations. And I'm joined here by Wes. Hiya, Wes.
Hi.
And last week we talked over some of the healings that you've seen taking place. And it also raises other questions that you must have had from the opposite experience. You know, you've mentioned that you've also been to funerals as well.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to hear how you started in this ministry. How do you keep going when there's so many challenges as well? And I'd quite like to talk to you about that today. And okay, as I read through the names and situations of those who have asked us to pray for them here at Acorn, I am so struck by the depth of need. And how do we face that? How do you pray for the next person when the last person might not have been healed?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, the thing, Lisa, is that there is always the next person. I mean, it's the thing that I'm aware of. Not, you know, most of us may pray for one or two people in a month or in our lifetime. Mm. But in Acorn, there's always a next person. There's always somebody else who's writing in, calling in, or coming to an event when we were face to face. I think people get involved in the healing ministry for various reasons, and they're the reasons I think that keep us all going in that. So people get involved because of compassion, because they have a sense of God's love for people, and particularly those whose lives are experiencing disease or dis-ease, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or whatever. And the compassion thing is, when you meet somebody without almost a conscious process in your heart, you find yourself drawn to them, and you find yourself just praying for them. It's beyond sentiment and pity, but it's just a deep sense of God's love, very much like Heidi Baker. It was that sense of the love of God for people. I think other people get involved because of a sense of commission. You experience a calling to this ministry, you find that people are drawn across your path. You end up always with people in that sort of situation. And it seems the right and true thing to seek their blessing, because you that's what you've been told to do. That's your commission to do it. It's a must do for you. I think some people also get involved because out of a sense of conviction, a compelling. You believe that at the heart of the universe, there is a different reality, that disease was not God's intention. This is not the way life should be. And because of that, you have a deep conviction about what Jesus is like and what he would want, what the kingdom is about. And of course, the final thing, the reason people get involved, is because they have experienced, either for themselves or for somebody close to them, a challenge. Somebody is sick and needs help, and people start in that. So I think the things like that keep you going, that get you started, in a sense, are the things that keep you going. And for me, it's some of the above, because I would say that my main thing is, I know what Jesus is like. I know what he did in his body when he encountered need. And I know what he would do if he was with the people that I'm with, but if he was here in his body, not in my body, if you understand the meaning. And I know that if Jesus came into the room, he would heal people, absolutely. Mm. And I suppose I'm just trying to get those two realities, his body and my body, closer together, so that people experience the healing. And I think that's for me the thing that keeps me going, is this conviction about what I think Jesus is like.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very helpful. And just kind of off of that point, I guess I know most people who are listening with us today are probably involved in ministry of some sort, especially the healing ministry. But there's some people who aren't, and they may not know what Jesus is like. As you've mentioned, you know, you are so lucky enough to know what Jesus is like. What would you say for those who don't yet know who he is, how they might deal with these situations?
I mean, I've been in sort of Christian ministry, involved in Christian ministry for what, 35 plus years. I led a church for 19 of those, the same church for 19 years. Everybody kept coming back on Sunday, which was amazing to me. Do you know what I discovered in 35 years? That God is really smart, that he actually knows how to reach us. So for me, even though I grew up in a Christian family, I became a Christian at 19, and it was through a whole set of things going on in life at the time. But what I discovered was this, that God is always sending us messages. He's always seeking us out because he loves us. And like many, I just had this sort of conversation with a God who, it's funny, isn't it? But we do. In those early days, you talk to a God that you're not even sure if he's there.
Yeah.
And you're not even sure who you're talking to, but you know that you're talking to somebody. And I sort of had this conversation, which was, okay, God, A, if you're there, and B, if you can do anything with a life like mine, then please do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't become a Christian primarily because I wanted to get my sins forgiven, which obviously I did. But should I tell you, the main driver for me was I just wanted to know what this God was like.
Yeah.
It just began to fascinate me. And then I realized, oh, and by the way, I get my sins forgiven as well. You know, because I don't think it's ever a great reason to become a Christian, that the only reason you become, you know, you get to know God is so you can escape hell. I mean, it's like saying to somebody, marry me or I'll kill you. I mean, it's not really the great...
It's not the reason. God we know now.
Not really. But there's your phrase, Lisa, not the God we know now. And actually, in those moments, I came to discover what Jesus was really like. And he wasn't, can I put it the way, he wasn't necessarily the God that the church wanted me to believe in. He was very, very different. And so because of that, it was one of those things which just grabbed my attention. I kept praying those prayers saying, okay, God, here I am. Can you do anything with me? And I found out that he started to. So,
yeah, that's lovely. A real sort of seeker's heart.
Yeah, I think so.
So also then, have you ever been disappointed? Is there anything that discourages you particularly?
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I think there's plenty of reason to be discouraged if you let it become the focus.
Okay.
And I've had to learn not to do that. I mean, I've taken the funeral of a very, very dear friend. The worst one I ever did was of a 3-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. And I took the funeral service, I'll never forget, because as the organ was playing, or somebody was playing, and I'm standing at the front of the church, and I wasn't prepared for it. And I saw Dad carry a white coffin the size of a shoebox. Oh. And he turned into the aisle at the other end, and he started to walk up carrying his child in this coffin. And I could feel myself like a dam just about to break. You know, I could feel the tears coming up. And I remember thinking to myself, if I start crying now, I will not stop.
Yeah.
You know, and I won't be any use to this family and to the church. And we were all grieving because of that. And you stand at the graveside of a friend, you have a significant traumatic loss. It's almost worse when you get so close to winning but then lose. You know, we had a lady who had a history of cancer, and she caught it again and had 3 clear scans. I mean, 3 clear scans, which the doctor said, I don't believe this. And he wrote, you know, I have no idea what's going on with this. And we were just about to rejoice and think, oh, I mean, the presence of God at the church was incredible. We, you know, and within 2 weeks she was dead.
Oh.
And it was like a shock to the solar plexus.
Mm.
And I said to my friend in one of those moments, what do I do? And he said, teach on healing.
Mm.
And I said, you're joking. He said, no. He said, what other time to do it than now? And we did. We very gently talked about the God who heals, even in our losses. So, yeah, I've had some discouragements and disappointments. I just decided that if I ever let them tell me what reality was like, I'd be done. So I don't ignore them, but I don't make them the focus.
Yeah, I think that's a really helpful comment, actually. And I was just about to ask, how do you overcome those moments? And I suppose that's sort of one tactic that you've got, or mind frame that you've got, but how do you decide to keep going?
I think they're the decisions that you make long before you get there.
Okay.
If forgive me the thing, you know, we used to teach our young people that the time to decide on sex before marriage is not in the back of a Ford Escort with the windows steamed up. You need to make those decisions way, way, way before those, you know, about the committedness of relationship. So I made those decisions long before I got to those moments. Things like, I was going to do this, even if nobody else was going to.
Yeah.
I knew that this was a must do for me. And I knew I wasn't going to wait until everybody else was willing to join in. I knew that I was going to do it. I also decided, I realized I was going to spend most of my life making a fool of myself, normally in public.
Yeah.
And so I just got comfortable with that. Once you settle it, at least for most of the time, it stops being the issue every time you stand up or move towards to do something. I worked out that I was going to pray for anybody who would let me pray for them.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been turned down. Nope. I think, okay. I remember asking one lady if she'd like me to pray for her. And she said, no, thank you. I have my own church. Thank you very much. And I said,
I told you.
I was well told. And no problem. You know, you say fine. But I decided, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I worked out that Jesus was the healer. I was just his support staff, really.
Very good.
That,
yeah.
You know, that it wasn't actually me. I was going to heal anybody. He was going to do it. I was necessarily going to say the words, but he was going to do it. And that was quite helpful. I worked out that I didn't have to force anything. And, you know, I would just say, honestly, simplicity usually is the best thing, you know, with that. And I worked out it was okay to pray for someone more than once. And I also worked out, and this is the disappointment thing, that some situations weren't going to work out.
Yeah.
And that, but I wasn't going to let that be the reason I would stop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. I was just thinking as you were saying some of those things as well, that there will probably be new things that will present themselves that, not just for you, but for everybody, won't there, that you start to realize, and then they will help you in your journey as well.
Yeah. And of course, all of those are very personal. So my list might not be your list or somebody else's
list.
But
there are
things that it just dawned on me that that's the way it was. And I think that helped me to fashion the reality to help me keep going.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So what would you say to people who've prayed for others and it's not worked out as they had hoped? Like, what can they do next?
When it's happened to me, I've said, did I do what I was told? You know, did I do the thing that God told me to do? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the loving thing? You know, did I care for this person in the best way, with the best grace and faith I had? Did I focus on their needs and not my need for security? I mean, the healing ministry is one of the most insecure things you go into, because you realize that you're saying things, you're thinking, God, if you don't do this, I'm really looking an idiot.
Yeah.
And I have moments like that. I genuinely have moments like that. I could tell you one of those stories. It's like, oh my. Did I do the thing that honored Jesus rather than built my reputation? So if the answer to those is yes, then I just simply have to trust that I did what was I was told to do, and I have to leave the rest to God. And that's all I can do. I can't do anything else.
Yeah. Did you have any regrets?
Yeah, I do. I guess I'd probably call them not so much just regrets, but past longings.
Okay.
I wish I'd taken this ministry more seriously sooner. You know, I'm coming to a certain age, and I just think, Lord, I might be sort of got less time than I used to have. Could you please just forgive my stupidity and get me, you know, move forward. So I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd been more courageous when I had the opportunity, and not necessarily worried so much about how acceptable people would think I was. Mm-hmm. And I wish I'd, sounds strange, but I wish I'd simply trusted God more simply.
Okay.
You know, I just wish I'd said, okay, I'm going to take you at your word. Yeah. You know, and I know that sounds the right Christian thing to do, but we don't. We hedge our bets, we hedge our prayers, whatever. Yeah. And I wish I hadn't done that as much, and just thought, no, let's just do this because God loves people.
That's it. And I think when you're younger as well, and you're wanting to learn, I don't know how to word it, but sometimes it feels, you know, you want to know more, you want to experience more of God, not of experiences. And I think sometimes that can take the simplicity away because you're eager to learn. And I felt as I've got a little bit, I mean, I'm not old, but as I've got older, I've started to learn. It's very simple. It is very simple.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think the incredible thing, I mean, that's why we started the Schools of Healing.
Yeah.
Not to cram people with knowledge.
Yeah.
But just to say, look, here's the stuff that we've learned, and you can tuck that way in the back of your mind and your back of your heart. And some of it might be useful and some of it might not be. But just to then say to people, but the main thing we've learned is you just have to simply pray with compassion and love for people and let God work the rest out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've heard your regrets or your longings. What about your hopes?
Oh, wow. yeah, I do. I have one big one. I can see a church where it is normal just for ordinary disciples of Jesus to pray for healing, and it takes place. And every time we are amazed, but not surprised.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus is like. I can see that, and that's my hope for the church.
Oh, that's brilliant. I remember when I joined Acorn, one of the first things I remember you saying is that we shouldn't be surprised when we see healings, but we should be amazed. And that stuck with me, not just for healings, but just God's character in general. We know, don't be surprised, be amazed.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Wonderful. So I think we should round it up there because we're going to run out of time. But would you kindly pray for everybody at the moment who's listening? Yeah.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Father, I pray today for every person who's felt knocked back and disappointed and discouraged, either because they've been prayed for and it hasn't happened yet, or they've prayed and it didn't happen then. And Father, I simply ask that you would give to each of us a fresh, living picture of Jesus, that might be the thing that holds us and enables us to keep moving forward in this. And Lord, for every person who is still waiting for healing, even today, I speak out the love of God over you, the rich, tender, life-giving love of God into your body and to your mind and to your spirit, that God's heavenly life will germinate in you and release his healing grace to you today. And this I ask in him, because I can because it's in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Wes. And thanks, everyone, for being with us today. We hope you have found it a helpful discussion. Don't forget to send through your questions about Christian healing if you have any. And next week, we're going to be exploring ministry and praying with vulnerable people. We're going to be looking at things like mental health and disability. So do join us next week. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Coffee Pods. We hope that you have found today's episode helpful and inspiring. If you have a question of your own about Christian healing, send it to info@acornchristian.org and we'll respond. For more information about Acorn, our events, and how to support our work, check out www.acornchristian.org. See you next time.